Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you. So first, I want to actually acknowledge the authors, Sarah Solomon, Alfonso Carlone, and Dr. David Fine. These members are from Cardia Services and really played a not only integral part in really developing the methods and actually the presentation, but also were integral in the management and the delivery of this project. I also want to thank and acknowledge Dr. Lee Warner from CDC. It's, I think, one of the benefits of being in the government, as well as the drawbacks, is we have a lot of resources, but we don't typically use them. And so being able to collaborate with CDC on an ongoing basis has been a real benefit, not only to us, but hopefully to you all as well. So a quick background. The purpose of this project really was to assess and increase services for males at family planning reproductive health clinics. Since 1990, we've actually been doing male projects. And as a result, we've been able to increase the proportion of male clients that are in there. So as you see here, approximately 92% of actually all of our clients are female. So, however, it's been increasing to 8% within the past couple years and holding steady. Unfortunately, some of our census is actually going down for numerous reasons. It's always important to acknowledge that men actually do recognize unplanned pregnancies, STIs, as serious health problems, as well as also other preventive health issues. Like I said before, we've been trying to promote this in different ways, and finally came to the end this third round of funding, really trying to look at interventions that actually could be used versus trying to continue to research some interventions that may be producing. So this last round, 2009-13, actually built upon a pilot that was implemented in Corpus Christi, the Planned Parenthood of Corpus Christi, now the Men's and Women's Health Services of the Coastal Bend. So more specifically, we really wanted to assess the impact of the clinical staff and community interventions on male reproductive health, client volume, and family planning service delivery. We did this by looking at and identifying program implications based on research results, including increasing male clients, increasing the services to these male clients in the context of a family planning visit, and also, just as importantly, as we go back to the previous slide and thinking about who are our major clients, who are the most of our clients that come in, and they're women. Since 1970, when the program itself was implemented, it was for low-income individuals. But when we look at who actually had the highest burden of need, and really the most important part of the program at the time, and still is actually providing these services to females, and an attempt to increase males at the detriment of access to females is something that, as one of the lone men in the Office of Population Affairs in the Title X program, was certainly a direction that we did not want to go to. So how was this done? We actually had two sets of grantees. We had the Coordinating Center, Cardia Services, which really was involved and responsible for the research part of the site. They were involved in providing technical assistance and training to our other sets of grantees, which consisted of 5 grantees with 12 different clinics across the U.S. So we had one in Massachusetts, one in Philadelphia, one in San Antonio, one in San Diego, and one in Montana. And so within Montana, and really in Montana, it was more across the state versus the other ones that were relatively centralized. So what were the interventions? One was restructuring the clinical environment, so modifying, adapting to what needed to be done in order to be a little bit more male-friendly. And I'm not saying that you have to change pink walls to green to blue walls. However, it did take actually just a quick look when staff actually was able to understand what we were trying to do with the project. They actually would step outside and come in and with the eyes of actually a client and actually realize that, you know, I may not want to come in here if I'm not sure what exactly it is. Second part was training clinical and administrative staff. So not only were there issues related to providing services to men, so as far as the proportion of men that actually are seen, a lot of our clinicians actually hadn't seen a male client in a long time and weren't sure actually how to provide the services. The other issue was actually providing education and outreach training to the administrative staff, since those are also the other gatekeepers within these. And then finally, really promoting the clinic itself, promoting the services, making sure that individuals actually knew what where they could go for these services. So we looked at administrative information systems information management systems in order to get these data. And most of the measures the measures that were used were client demographics, the actual services that provided, including testing and screening for STIs, counseling and education, and also looking at the time frame. So we did a pre-post and then actually had experimental and comparison groups. So the three areas that we wanted to look at are male family planning visits, the services, and actually the impact on our current and the majority of our clients. So taking a look at this, pretty easy to see that something was working. On the left side, we look at the comparison groups. There certainly was an increase. And while these obviously were comparison groups, we think that because of the involvement actually of the host grantees, so Family Health Centers, Planned Parenthood of Montana, and the Family Planning Council of Philadelphia, we knew that there was also some type of interaction that was going on. However, when we look at experimental sites, we certainly see that there was something much stronger in those that were directly involved. So what happened? Certainly a significant increase in male visits. And then also when we also take a look at two of the three grantees comparison clinics really did stay the same. They only increased by a small margin. Our second set of measures really are assessing both reproductive health services and STI testing and screening. I'm going to take a quick look. And again, seeing that overall we saw an increase in 2008 was the last year, the first year prior to the intervention starting, and really 2012 was the last year that we collected data around these. Again, San Diego, which actually had two clinics, one was a large FQHC, when we take a look at this, we all, again, see our comparison versus our experimentals, seeing a great increase, specifically when we look at chlamydia screening around teens. And again, when we are also assessing some of the HIV data around the testing, we're seeing also significant increase in those over 30. So again, what part of this really did we see increase? So most importantly, in the comparison sites, not really a significant change in chlamydia screening. However, we did see modest increases in HIV. So again, looking at the positivity, just to get a quick kind of breakdown, certainly positivity of chlamydia very strong in our San Antonio clinic, followed by the other three. Out there. So again, wanted to make sure that while this is an intervention that is positive and has significant implications, we wanted to make sure that it also didn't have the negative outcomes that that was really important to maintaining family planning and reproductive health services to our major clients, which are their females. So what really went on? This probably isn't the most optimistic slide when we look at it. There's a lot of negatives in there. Actually, I don't even see a positive in there, frankly. Which means that something else was going on at the time. And we know that during 2008 and 2012, there was a slight issue with the economy and some other factors that relate to census. So part of that was actually funding as well. More importantly, we saw that in experimental sites, that decrease was much smaller. And when this actually was implemented in Corpus Christi, they actually saw an increase of 20% or more, I believe it was actually slightly over 20% in their female census, at the same time seeing an increase in over 50% of their male clients at the same time. So we knew from that, or we believed from those data, that there was a likelihood that this intervention really wasn't based on a zero-sum game. I think that was a thought throughout the network, that you're not giving us any more money, and you expect us to serve men. Why do we want to serve men? Because it's going to mean less females, and in fact, we saw something different. And the other issue that we're also seeing, and we're trying to look at a little bit more, is the revenue part of it. In Title X centers, and many of you are familiar with them, revenue is a significant issue as far as being able to be sustainable. So again, we see some differences here, but with regard to chlamydia and syphilis, and the changes there much more significant than those in the comparison group. So, again, did the intervention work? Well, certainly on the impact on females, we did not see an issue or a negative impact related to both census or the services that actually were provided. So what does this really mean? One, it's positive, that there are interventions that can increase access, improve capacity, at the same time, really making sure that you're engaging some of those community partners. And that was, we believe, one of those pieces that, again, wasn't one of our major measures, but something that through our evaluation and through some of the other qualitative analyses showed that those strengths and those relationships were there. Finally, and also more importantly, it addressed barriers. So those past attitudes and beliefs, those barriers that we believe actually were the ones that were possibly causing issues with why men weren't actually being seen. Not only did they not know where those the clinics were, what the clinics provided, they weren't actually sure when they got in there if they could receive services. So being in the EMR and EHR session, certainly know that administrative information systems are positive. One of the difficult parts about it is making sure that you're very clear early on what measures you want to collect and what is the ability to collect those measures. Even if you know the programmer there, some of our elements were certainly restricted to being able to extract that data, those data, from the existing systems. Certainly had an impact on users, as we see those that negative slide that we had there, maybe part of the Great Recession. Service site funding shifted, especially internally. One of our clients or one of our grantees actually lost their Title X umbrella funding. But ultimately, family planning programs, especially within the Title X network, can increase male users without impacting females. So again, making sure that clinics are increasing actually the services provided and helping define what those actual services are is incredibly important. And then finally, really integrating male reproductive health services in family programs is possible. It doesn't take too much work, but ultimately it improves clinic productivity and it achieves the goal of providing family planning services to all who need them, especially high quality access. So this is my information, and I have to include our recently released MMWR, which is providing quality family planning services to individuals, recommendations from CDC and the Office of Population Affairs. And some of these data are really putting into trying to not only increase access and the quality of services, but also measure performance, since that's really one of those areas that EMRs and EHRs are going to be able to give us a lot more information toward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hold on, we still have some time for questions. Any questions? So I actually have a question,
sure,
if you allow me. So what do you think in the intervention was the single most important? You may not have these data, but what do you think, just from your impressions, is the most important component of the intervention, which will have impact on how we develop training programs for this?
Sure. So I'll take the leeway of saying there's actually two. So one was really looking at the clinic environment. So that wasn't simply just the environment itself. Again, the walls are. It really included making changes and assessing actually documents. So the intake forms. Often, and I always feel silly saying this out loud, the clinic forms never actually had a male anatomy model. So when a male would come in and says, circle what hurts, there's really not an anatomy on there that I can circle that relates to me. So that was a significant piece of actually making a male welcome in. I would then say really the most important piece was actually training both the clinical staff and the administrative staff on providing services. Not only the clinical staff of saying, hey, this is actually what you do when you see a male. It's for many of our clinicians, it was 30 years or more since the last time they actually did provide services to males. So one, getting over that barrier, and two, addressing the issue that men need services and they actually want services. Often the men that are involved in the dynamic for the females that come to our Title X clinics are not always the most positive. They're not always viewed, let me say that, as the most positive citizens, even though they are. They're individuals with problems, not problem individuals. So,
yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you for that. I have a related question. I'm wondering if we can look forward to either fact sheets or something put out that kind of specifies exactly what interventions were successful across the sites.
Sure. We can. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. David. I actually have a comment that will sort of lead us into the next presentation. David mentioned the use of electronic medical records in the evaluation of programs like this, but you can actually use the electronic medical record also to enhance these services for men, as we've found in our Denver STD clinic, where the implementation of an electronic medical record tickler system dramatically increased the number of men that were included in the family planning program. There's an integrated program in Denver. So EMRs can be used to improve quality. And so that's our next presentation. It's from my colleague in Denver, Dr. Karen Peterson.